Damn, y'all feel that?
Yeah. 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 A message to all you pseudo spitters. The sound is cool, but the trend I see is the truth is missing. I feel the flow is stupid. You claim that the music's different. I guess it's all opinion, depending on who was listening.
Yeah. What's the word, y'all? KT underscore podcast. Hashtag KT. We are KT. We are back in the building for another episode. And that is episode 89, live and direct, No Rules podcast. Hashtag KTR. We are KTR. We are back in the building. But before we get into this building, before we start this episode, I got to check in with my brothers, and that's Big Hard and J-Bo himself. And my brothers, how are y'all feeling today?
I'm alive.
I was up to about 3 in the morning. I'm tired.
Well, I actually got energy this time. Last time I was getting over the plague that was given to me by my children, but I survived, so I'm doing good. What about you, Cinco?
Blessed and highly favored. That's good, J-Bo, because we did wish you a speed recovery on the last episode. If you didn't check out that, you know, episode 88, you know. Mark, why are you looking like that? We did wish you a speed recovery. I know I did. That's the first thing I said.
Yeah, it was there.
But we're glad you're back. We're glad we got the trio back here. We're about to start on this new episode. And before we dive into this episode, I got to do this. Y'all need to do one simple favor for me, and that is to follow us on all social media platforms, KT underscore podcast, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, No Rose Podcast, Facebook, YouTube, No Rose Podcast, all podcast platforms. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, everything. And don't forget to get that merch at ProWrestlingTees.com/KTR Podcast. Let's get in, let's go, let's get into the show. And what's funny about this show is I didn't get any topics for it, and it just clicked into my mind before we started it off. But that's good. There's no need to worry because we are here. Ad-libbing is one of my specialties, and that's what we're going to do today. So why not? Let's talk about WrestleMania. WrestleMania 40, the biggest one. The first WrestleMania of the Paul Levesque era.
They got to come up with a better name.
One of the coldest WrestleManias that I've attended in my lifetime. And the last one is going to be that cold. If I ever see a WrestleMania that's in an outdoor stadium that's up north, I am not going.
Not going. Nah. I'm not.
The weather lied to me because I checked the weather a week in advance. And it said it was going to be in the mid-60s. I'm like, okay, it's cool. Days leading up, as it got closer, that temperature started to drop. More clouds started showing in the forecast. It showed rain. It showed high winds. I had to dig up a coat for this trip.
Coat?
I live on the West Coast now. I don't know what a coat is anymore. I had to get a North Face. It was freezing outside. Wow. But then again, like I said, it was a good show. It was a good turnout. They did well. But in other news, what was y'all overall opinion of WrestleMania 40? Take it away, my brothers.
I want Big Hard to start because I love how he was shaking his head when he was talking.
I know. This is good. Go ahead. Be negative Nancy for real quick.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have to be because I feel like everybody in the world is so high on the fact that it was produced by Triple H, that we are not realistically looking at the faults of the show. And it was honestly a B-minus show. It was not a great WrestleMania as a whole. I always felt like splitting WrestleMania into two nights would work only because of the filler matches, but the filler matches still felt like filler matches. They could have had one night, crammed it with the actual matches that mattered, and had a spectacular WrestleMania. But to me, it was just above average. I guess we can get into details a little bit later, but it was just above average. It truly was.
Okay. J-Bo.
I agree with above average. I wouldn't call it a what would you say, B-minus, B-plus?
B-minus.
I'll go more on the B-plus side for it. It wasn't an A, and again, as Hard mentioned, we can go into more details on why I wouldn't consider it an A, but no, I'll actually give it a B-plus. Mainly because there was entertainment value in it. There was happenstance that took place where obviously they were expected and people called it and, you know, we saw it coming. But just because we see it coming doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
I agree.
There's a lot of good things that came out of it. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of promise. That doesn't necessarily mean that those promises are going to fulfill themselves as time progresses. But, you know, for WrestleMania, for the show that it was, yeah, I'll definitely give it a B plus.
Way too high. Way too high.
For me, since I saw it in person, I give it a C because I was cold as hell. But no, in all actuality of viewing the show, WrestleMania overall, I would give it. I'll probably go with J, but I'm gonna give it a B plus. I was gonna think about A minus, but I'm like, okay, let me not be that person like I always am. I'll give it a B plus. It was a great show, in my opinion, to me. And like I said, we'll dive in details later. Like,
I don't know what y'all was watching.
Watching WrestleMania, the biggest.
Ain't no way.
Overall, yeah, it was like the wrestling was good to me. Like, the important matches stood out in how they should have stood out. Like I said, the fillers were the fillers. But overall, like, and they weren't too long because think about it, it was like six matches per night. And that's what made it more, I guess, not too long-winded, which can happen in WrestleMania, except when it gets to the main event, but that's for obvious reasons. But other than that, it wasn't bad, though, in my opinion. It was a good WrestleMania to me. But with that being said, we're going to start off with this. Which one was better, night one or night two?
Great question. I like night one better. Yeah, night.
I feel like they were both stark average. The one that had Sami Zayn and Gunther on it. That's
night one.
To me, that was it. Yeah, that was after that. It, you know, whatever.
I'll never say night one for me because I mean, J-Bo mentioned this because what I was talking about, like on paper and actually in the flesh too, night one was actually better.
Was, yeah.
Right. You had Rhea Ripley starting off your night one. You had Gunther and Sami Zayn match. That was good. The main event for the night one, you got to see The Rock wrestle for those who are big fans of The
Rock.
He
didn't wrestle, but go ahead.
He was in a match.
He was in a match. There we go. He was in a match.
For those who have never seen The Rock perform in person, this was the best opportunity for that, along with seeing Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins. So you got to see four main event players, main event of one big special night that went for a long period of time. What else happened tonight? You got to see the Usos wrestle. Okay, you got to see the beautiful black queens of Jade Cargill, Naomi, and Bianca Belair. So I'm like, overall, that just seemed a lot better than what was offered on night two. But it's okay though. I don't think that was unfortunate for me. I didn't get to see Randy Orton in person, but it's okay. That's for another day.
Night one was, to me, it felt like a WrestleMania night. While night two, with the exception of obviously the main event, it felt like, you know, just another PLE event that just so happened to have a lot of people.
Yeah, you matched Backlash with Survivor Series.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you look at, the matches, they weren't even, like, bad. It was just, they were more generic matches. Night one had more, you know, WrestleMania-esque matches. But yeah, we can talk about the matches as we go on.
Yeah. So with that being said, what was your favorite match of WrestleMania as a whole?
I love the tag team match, the ladder match.
That was your favorite one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
and you know, we could talk about, you know, the main.
That was on night one too. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed the tag team ladder match because, you know, me, I like the little gimmicky matches as long as they're done right. And I liked what they finally did with the tag team titles. I know Harv hates the current state of the tag. I mean, I kind of do as well. But I like how they did it. I believe I spoke on it. It didn't go exactly as I thought it would. But, I mean, I like how they did it. It makes sense. And, you know, if there's any hope for the tag team division, at least they started off on a decent foot. And the match itself was just entertaining. So I like the tag team match.
Big Horror.
Gunther and Sami
Favorite.
Zayn.
Of
Gunther
course.
and Sami Zayn was the best match. He beat the hell out of Sami Zayn. I still don't think Sami should have won, but they did a good job of rallying him at the end and made it a believable ending where he did win. But that was a hard-hitting match. It hit all the notes that it needed to. Good match.
Let me tell you this. When Sami Zayn hit that brain buster on the top turnbuckle,
Oof.
everybody in that arena went ooh and silent because they thought that was an accident. The way it
He
was
don't throw that bug
executed.
often. He don't throw that joint often, but that did used to
Exactly.
be a regular move in his repertoire.
And that's how you know how professional he is because the way everybody reacted in that move happened, you like, did he drop him? Was he trying to do a suplex off the rope and just drop? Like, it was like, oh my God, that actually happened.
That was reminiscence of his El Generico days because he used to
Yep,
hit that
exactly
spot.
what I thought about. Damn,
He used to hit Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens a lot with that move back when they was feuding back in ROH. So yeah, it was
he throw
nice.
that and Kevin to throw that package pile driver. Yep.
Yeah, oh my God, we ain't gonna talk about that. He was
Let's see.
in with that move.
My favorite match of the evening, well, not well, evenings, aside from, well, we'll talk about that later. So I'm not gonna pick that one. But my favorite match was the United States Championship match where Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul.
Then night two? I thought he was just doing night
I
one.
say it was, no, we say evenings. I said WrestleMania as a whole.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. I thought he was doing night one. That's my bad.
Oh, no, yeah, WrestleMania as a whole, yeah. We just going night
I
one.
actually thought that was a good match, though. I'm gonna agree with you on that. That was
Yeah,
one of the
because
better matches of WrestleMania.
they did right with how Logan Paul was supposed to win because it didn't make him seem like he was dominant because he was getting the hell beat out of him all night. And they threw in the distractions here and there so it could make it seem like that's how he gets help and get the sneaky win. With that. You know, there's always gonna be somebody in the prime bottle costume helping him out whenever he comes out. That's gonna be the thing. That's his gimmick. I don't know. Well, I understand why he got IShow Speed for it because of his views on streaming platform. I still don't understand like the whole streaming gimmick, but that's their thing. So that, I don't know. But it's bringing viewership to the business, so that's all that matters. So with that was my favorite thing too. I'm still upset that Randy Orton didn't get the win and get a United States title, but that's for another day. With that, we did have a surprise that happened at WrestleMania. There's something that finally happened that we did not expect to happen that we were talking about was that Damian Priest finally cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase. And now he is the new world heavyweight champion. And now both heavyweight champ world championships are with the Judgment Day. How y'all feel about that cash in?
That's one of those where I believe a good amount of people expect it to happen. It happened, and I'm perfectly fine with it. They actually hit a few things with that. Number one, in just that brief moment, they gave spotlight back to Damian Priest because with him and Finn Balor as tag team champions, they were just dwindling in care. Like it wasn't that interesting. So this brings a little bit back to that. Second thing they did was keep Drew McIntyre in an interesting storyline where he's obviously with CM Punk, but now they also threw in the mix of, hey, he won the world title. He had it, but he lost it because of CM Punk. Even leading up to Monday Night Raw afterwards, it continued that story. So it kept him relevant. And CM Punk, while he's still hurt, he's still in the mix of the storyline, even though he's not wrestling or anything. It gave everybody different branches to be involved. So I think that cashed in led to so many wonderful possibilities. So I thought that was great.
But now Jey Uso is going the number one contender match, and he's going up against Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight title. Why you just throw your hand like that?
He ain't winning. Let's be honest.
He's
He ain't
not gonna
winning.
win, but it also, to me, I feel like same thing you're saying. The story beats that it hits are better than the actual cash in. The potential for the stories that come out of it is better. Drew and Jey have a history. You know what I'm saying? He there's still history involved in Jey having this title shot, Drew being upset about everything going on, CM Punk just making waves like he always does. So I feel like it still makes sense. Jay's not going to win the title, but ultimately it makes the title scene for the world championship more exciting. It makes people want to pay attention to it more, which is what it needed after it got buried so much on the road to WrestleMania. So I think that the cash in did what it needed to do for the title as a whole, but it remains to be seen if it was a good decision or not.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Like, so how long you think he gonna hold the title for?
3 4 months
Oh, he's gonna at least SummerSlam. At least SummerSlam is about 3 4 months
Yeah, three,
away. Yeah,
4 months. As I
August.
say, by summertime, I don't think he's gonna have it. He
Yeah.
might have a big match at SummerSlam, drop it to whoever he faced there, and then we'll see where he goes from there.
Yeah. At that point, the Judgment Day should be over or leading to the end of that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Now you know how to get to this one. Worst match of WrestleMania.
The Usos one-on-one. The Usos was clearly the worst match. Clearly.
Either that or
Don't say
LA Knight and AJ Styles. That was the only exciting part about it was how hyped the crowd were for LA Knight. The match was not good. It wasn't good. It wasn't a good match.
I do agree. I think for me though, the reason why Usos is worse is that LA Knight and AJ Styles, their match could have been better. It wasn't that, oh, okay, well they couldn't have put on a good match anyway. No, it could have been a lot better for the caliber that they both were. Whereas Jimmy and Jay, you knew the type of match they were going to have. We all knew the type of match they were going to have. And they went out and they did exactly the type of match that we knew they were going to have. So the fact that we knew it was going to be bad and it came out bad, that's why I had to pick the Usos as the worst match.
I
And
wish.
the problem with the match is, because I've been seeing a whole lot of people talk about this online, there's, in my opinion, there's two moves that can be done over and over. That's a punch and a chop. Those are two moves you can do those over and over and over in a match, whatever. But super kick, I don't know, maybe because this is just my ideal of it, but a super kick, it either should be like a signature move that's leading up to the end or an a finishing move. That should be it. I view a super kick on the same realm as a DDT. The DDT has always pissed me off for years, where, like, in my opinion, a DDT should be either a signature or a finisher. Why? Because you just drop the dude on his head.
On
Okay,
his
so that on his head, kick out. I mean, I'm talking Jake Snake Robbie, even before him. Like, that should be it. So with a super kick, I view that on the same level. So when you're kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking, like screw kayfabe, it just looks terrible over, like after the first two kicks, it's just
too much
pointless.
no selling. I agree. It's way too much no selling when it comes to super kicks.
Yeah.
They watered it down way too much.
it's not even just the Usos. I think that's just the state of wrestling for the
Yeah,
past, what,
that's all
five,
around.
seven.
That's definitely all around. Yeah.
Just, oh, that to see it on a grand scale like WrestleMania, it was no, that was terrible.
But at least they got their WrestleMania moment and had their singles match on the main stage. So we'll give them that at least. It was just oversaturated with a super kick fest. That's it.
There was four moves in the entire match. Go back and watch it. Four moves. It was a super kick, a Samoan drop, an open hand punch, and a splash. Those are the only four moves done throughout the entire match. Go back. I promise you, those are the only four
I
moves that was
mean, when you 38 years old, you trying to keep it safe. You ain't trying to
Nah,
hurt
son.
yourself.
Nah, son. Nah,
Nobody
son.
trying
Not at
to
WrestleMania.
hit.
Not at WrestleMania. And not
You
when
said you
Jey
gotta go
Uso
all
has
out
been on.
WrestleMania.
Jey Uso's been on a tear. He's been doing magnificently on his own. We know
Ah.
that he can do better. He should have done better. Jimmy's just as good. They're not giving him the same character work, and they're not letting him work like Jey. But there's
Yeah.
no excuse for that match. There really isn't.
Let me tell you about something about Jey Uso. I did not realize how popular Jey Uso really is amongst the WWE universe.
I
It
didn't
is
even know he was popular.
insane. Like, and this WWE Superstore, his merch was sold out already on the first day. WWE World, when people were doing the mock entrances, everybody was requesting Jey Uso's entrance to do that. On the
To be
W2
38 and have your catchphrase be
Yeet.
yeet is too much for me.
From a
Bro,
from some that was from the Vine years where that word came
it's
from.
so old. It is. he was probably in his early 30s when that was a thing, and he's brought it back successfully.
Right.
And that was just
literally, I don't what, 12 plus years ago?
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
And also, he is the third most played character on W2K.
That is That's crazy, wild. Too.
I never realized how much he is loved. But hey, shout out to you, man, because I didn't know like that. I like knew it was good, but like they really love Jey Uso as a singles wrestler. And it's insane. But another thing that's insane, that's the last thing we're going to talk about with WrestleMania, is that now we have a new undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion of the World, Cody Rhodes. Finally defeated the Tribal Chief of Roman Reigns. It finally happened. It's here.
I ain't rolling my eyes hard enough.
We haven't had a new champion since 2020. Besides, you know, the World Heavyweight Champion. But yeah, you get the picture. Roman Reigns was so good that he got the WWE title eliminated and they made the Universal title the new main title. So with that being said, we are now in the Cody Rhodes era. How do y'all feel about Cody Rhodes getting the win and now him being the official face of WWE? Take it away, Big Horn. Because the story is now finished.
It's not. If the 45-minute promo on Raw didn't tell you, I'm here to tell you, story's not over.
Well, that All was right? a long they really took 45 minutes.
Oh my
minutes.
God. That was 45 minutes. And it was it wasn't well done. All right. All I'm gonna say is I'm glad that part is over, that he can stop talking. He's still not gonna stop talking about it, but he can stop. To a degree, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. If Cody don't get some edge to him, the crowd is going to turn on. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. All right? The story's over. The cookie-cutter white bread, Captain America stuff needs to tone down. He needs to get some edge to him. All this crying, all this daddy, 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 all this Pharaoh, all my daughter, all that, he got to tone it down. It's not going to, you know how finicky the fans are. You do. They got what they wanted. If he don't put some edge on them, he's gonna lose the crowd. That's really all I got to say about it. Because I've been annoyed with Cody since he came back. Y'all know that. It's been no secret. I'm still not a fan. I hope that his title reign changes how I feel. But I need him to do something different. I just need him to switch it up. Me personally, I'd much rather just have Roman Reigns still have the title. Me personally, but hey, it's not the way it goes. You know.
Said, not the way it go.
Yeah. Ain't the way the cookie crumbles, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, stop it. First off, I do agree that the long 45-minute promo and the Rock handing Lord knows what over to Cody Rhodes during the promo. Crackpot. Yeah, that. here we go. At WrestleMania, yes, I am glad that they actually pulled the trigger and they're going with Cody Rhodes in this case, fine. But to Har's point, you know, he said they're gonna turn on him if you don't get an edge. Har, they're gonna turn on him regardless. They're gonna turn. Like and I give it about a good 2 months, and that's being generous, because that's the state of wrestling fans nowadays. They turn on them quick. They've been begging for this, finish the story, Cody Rhodes, yeah, all this good stuff. Doesn't matter, because they're going to end it. They did it with Liv Morgan. They did it with Daniel Bryan. They've been doing it for years. They're going to turn, so I'm not really interested in it. With Cody Rhodes winning, the only one thing I do want to acknowledge is actually Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins was really the true Iron Man of WrestleMania, because he had a terrible weekend. But I do like how they implemented re-implemented the whole Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins shield part of the story. I enjoy that. And for the people who said, wait a minute, Roman Reigns already got his revenge back in 2022. And that doesn't mean he got over it. They still use that as a part of something that Roman Reigns is still dealing with. I like that type of long-term storytelling where if you paid attention to the small details, it'll actually play out in your favor. And so I actually want to give Seth Rollins credit for how that the whole entire weekend for him turned out. But yeah, for right now, just look to see what we're going to do with Cody. There's so many different possibilities, so many different matchups, so many different things they can do with it. Let's just see how it goes.
Now, while the crowd is finicky, I do agree to that. There's no guarantee that somebody's going to turn. Not everybody's going to be happy with how Cody works. My thing is, he needs to adjust his character. He's had the same character since he came back, and it has been nothing but white bread, cookie cutter, same old BS. He can salvage his face run if he just tweaks it a little bit. If he don't tweak it a little bit in the next few months, it's not going to be like a John Cena dueling champ thing. That's not what I mean. I mean, people get tired of the good boy, Boy Scout routine really quick. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. I agree that everybody's not going to be happy. Wrestling fans love to boo what they cheered last week. That's just the state of it. I agree with that. But he's going to go down in flames if he don't make some changes. In my opinion, I don't see nobody in the business right now is that baby face. Nobody is that happy-go-lucky family man. No, nobody. Even the people that put their kids on screen, 5 minutes later, they cussing somebody out because they put their kids on screen because they finna whoop somebody ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different. It's not the same. It's like Chad Gable. Chad Gable, the thing leading up about his daughter out there crying. He used that as fire. He wasn't up there staring at the screen, crying, you know, trembling lip, and, oh, my daughter. Look. That wasn't what he was doing. He used that for inspiration. What's the FTR? Harwood. What happened with him, and he put his baby on the screen a few months ago for whatever that match was. It was for fire. It wasn't for sympathy. It wasn't to push the character of, oh, I'm a family man. It's like, nah, you see what I'm fighting for, now I'm going to whoop your ass. He needs an edge like that is what I'm referring to.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some people display their emotions differently. You never know. So that's the thing about it. Just did that to trigger him.
I know what you're going for. You ain't getting it, all right? You ain't getting it.
I ain't mad about Cody Rhodes finishing the story. I'm happy they finished the story. Now I can stop talking about the story. We can move on to something else. Now, what's on my mind is about what is in store for the future of the WWE. And we could translate this over to the WWE draft that's coming up in a few weeks with that as well. Because now that Cody Rhodes has won the main event title that is strictly for SmackDown, is he now currently, for the time being, a SmackDown superstar? Or is he going to be on both shows until they have the WWE draft, until they pick their official champion?
Both shows for a while. I think it's like a campaign when you're trying to be president. You got to show up everywhere for a little bit. Yeah. He's just going to float around. He's really not going to have many matches, I don't think, just yet. Not until after that draft, as we like to call it. But he's going to show up. He's going to tease feuds with a couple other people. And that's pretty much going to be it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. Because they got that draft coming up in a few weeks, all these wrestlers are going to be on every show right now.
So with that being said, so we're going to transition over to the WWE draft real quick. So with that, where do you see the main champions going to? Where do you see Cody Rhodes staying on Raw, or will he go on SmackDown?
They're going to keep Cody on Raw because they're going to keep that as their flagship show. I see Damian and Day being on SmackDown.
Yep, absolutely.
Another question with that is, do you see any breakups happening with the WWE draft? Any split ups?
To be honest, I don't see that many tag teams splitting up, especially now that they split up those tag titles.
I'm pretty sure it could be factions too, as well.
Yeah, that too.
I don't think any of them are going to break up. I really, in my core, feel like they're about to try to revamp the bloodline with Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. I do think that they're probably going to join as some sort of tag team. So I don't think they're going to break up. I feel like Karrion Kross and them, didn't they just move down to NXT?
They're on because they jumped Axiom and Nathan Frazier after their tag team match.
So I don't think they're gonna break up. I don't think this is the right way to break up the Judgment Day. I do think it's time for them to start moving away from each other, but I don't think the draft is the way.
I think they just might
the rest
take
of them
Judgment
just
Day.
feel pretty new.
I feel like they might take Judgment Day and separate Rhea Ripley.
She's really the only one. She's the main one, not the only one, that would benefit from separating. She don't need that group. She's bigger than the group. She has been for a while, really.
But actually, they can't do it because they want to keep both world titles probably on the same show at that.
I could see that, too.
Yeah, so that's another thing as well. Since both of them got the world title, they're probably going to keep the whole Judgment Day together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because last draft, they didn't split any factions or anything like that. They kept everybody the same. Because one thing I'm hoping for is that they split up is Bobby Lashley and Street Profits.
Yeah, this has not worked out.
It hasn't worked out because they haven't been given a clear direction ever since.
I agree. It's an easy fix. I just don't see them focusing on the fix, which is why I agree with Cinco that they need to split up. It was gold. I don't see how they stumbled the way they did, but they did. They stumbled, and it's not looking like they're going to get out and get in the front. But, yeah, they need to go ahead and separate.
Right.
They were destined for failure since they got together. I think it was like their first tag team match, like as a group or whatever. They lost. And then it was like just, after that. Like, yeah, that was just a nail in the coffin at that point from the beginning.
Yeah, and the Pride. That's such a dumbass name for a faction. The Pride.
You the Lion mad King. About the name.
The Lion King was going on. I don't get it. The Pride. Yeah, I went from the Hurt Business to the Pride. Get out of here. Get out of here. Move on. Move along.
Cool. Last thing I want to recognize before we get off the show, another thing that happened over WrestleMania weekend was NXT Stand Deliver. Probably the best show that whole weekend.
Yeah.
And another thing, if you were there in person and you heard that whoop that trick chant, it's a real thing. That was, I'm like, it's really loud in here. There's no boosting the sound in it. Like, that is a real thing. I was like, man, they're really behind. And that, due to the fact too, that is his the city that he's built from. So that's another thing too that plays a part. But like, man, they was loud.
Yeah.
For I wonder if they had to pay 3-6 Mafia to use that.
Is it their thing though?
Yeah, that's 3-6 Mafia.
I wanted to do that hustle and flow, like, well, something here.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're gonna see.
Yeah.
All right, but with that, that is all the time we have. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for checking in for Know the Ropes podcast. Well, because without y'all, there would be no KTR. But until then, thank y'all for listening to episode 9. Be sure to do this one super favor for us, and that is to follow us on all social media platforms, KTR_podcast, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Know the Ropes podcast, Facebook, YouTube, Know the Ropes podcast, all podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, with everything. And don't forget to get that merch at ProWrestlingTees.com/KTR podcast. Let's get in, let's go, let's get off this show.
You.
This is episode 89, live and direct, Know the Ropes podcast, #KTR, and we are out.
As the first episode of the Paul Levesque era, Big Hard, tell them.
Whoop them tricks and pump them numbers, baby. You.
That don't compute in my mind, I must be out of mind. Black fist high, rally up before we out of time.